Thank you. Religion figures centrally in the public debates concerning the accession of Turkey to the EU. In these debates, one can discern not only a skepticism concerning the compatibility of a Muslim society with European values, but also an unease with the central place of Islamic parties in contemporary Turkish politics. The question of religious difference also arises centrally in the context of immigrant incorporation. In the German public sphere, it probably won't be an exaggeration to say that the post-conventional national identity constructed critically against the memory of National Socialism, which Habermas passionately defended against the neoconservative historians in the historical strife of the 1980s, has been partly replaced by an organic national identity defined against the internal Islamic other. In this brief talk, I will depart from my comparative research on political Catholicism in mid-19th to early 20th century Germany and political Islam in post-1970 Turkey to argue that the trajectory of contemporary Muslim politics is not incommensurable with the historical experiences of Europe with political Catholicism. There are many comparative studies of Muslim political parties, and a number of studies examine Christian democratic parties across European countries. But there are very few, in fact, less than a handful of studies to my knowledge, that systematically compare Muslim and Christian politics. I think the reason for this is obvious. Scholars assume that different kinds of rules are at play in these two socio-cultural worlds, separated by religious tradition and regional political culture. Therefore, there is no point to seek a general explanation of religious party formation or transformation across the Muslim-Christian divide. While I can make no claim to being systematic or in-depth within this brief presentation, let me argue the contrary by drawing upon my larger research project. First, the research puzzle. As many of you in this conference know, the first Islamic party in Turkey, National Order, was founded in 1970, but this party and its successors did not achieve significant electoral success until the mid-1990s. In the national elections of 1995, Welfare emerged as the first party from the ballot box, and a reformist spin-off, Justice and Development Party, won a victory in the elections of 2002, leading to the formation of the first single-party government in Turkey since 1991. In late 19th century Germany, the center party surprised even its own politicians when it won 54% of the Catholic vote in the Reichstag elections of 1871. But its success reached a real peak in the elections of 74, when it won 4 out of every 5 Catholic votes. What explains the successful outcome for these religious parties? Why was the center able to garner the support of Catholics in late 19th century Germany, while efforts to build a major Protestant confessional party failed in the same period? Why did Islamic parties in Turkey achieve electoral success starting in the mid-1990s, as I said, although the religious political project had been in place since 1970? My contention is that political Islam in late 20th century Turkey and political Catholicism in late 19th century Germany rose through a similar process. I explain, and this is going to be very brief because of the time constraints, but I explain the rise of successful religious parties through what I call the theory of revival, reaction, politicization. According to this theory, major religious revivals increase the public visibility, social influence, and political autonomy of religion. This is the revival component. Where culturally entrenched discourses against the religious movement inform powerful societal and state actors, these groups will perceive the revival as a threat to their identities and interests. They will thus engage in social counter-mobilization and enact policies of state repression against the revivalist movement. This is the reaction component. If existing political parties do not effectively represent religious defense, religious activists will in response build a distinctively religious political orientation and a strong religious party. In these efforts, they will be enabled by the dense organizational web, influential religious authority, and strong religious identity that were constructed in the course of the revival. And this is the politicization stage. Of course, I speak of politicization in a very specific sense, in the sense of the rise of a successful political party. There are many possible forms of politicization of religion, but this is what I refer to in this paper. So let me start my brief comparative analysis with the religious revivals in the German and Turkish cases. The mid-19th century Catholic revival in Prussia was largely planned by the Roman Catholic Church and carried out by religious orders through several means: people's missions, the establishment of new religious organizations, and the restoration of clerical authority in increasingly secularized organizations and activities. Between 1848 and 1872, Jesuits, Redemptorists, and Franciscans vigorously carried out this revival project with the support of the local clergy. The missions for the people took from a few days to 2 weeks and consisted of mass, sermons, confessions, and exorcisms. Throughout the 1850s and 60s, almost all parishes in Catholic regions were visited at least once by a mission. These activities generally led to a considerable rise in religious sentiment among German Catholics, but their effects would have been rather sporadic if they were not followed by the establishment of religious associations, orders, and lay brotherhoods. The Catholic revival of the 1850s and 60s successfully reversed the secularizing trend of the pre-1848 period in the German Catholic milieu. It created a relatively strong religious identity, restored the social influence of religious authority, and constructed a dense web of religious organizations. The Islamic revival in Turkey, which may be dated back to the 1970s, was largely initiated by religious brotherhoods under the influence of Islamic revivalist movements burgeoning internationally in this period. From the early 1970s on, the number of female students wearing headscarves began to increase. The 1980s provided an especially favorable political environment for the revivalist activities of religious brotherhoods. And I'm not going to get into these conditions, but the post-coup kind of military interim government, as well as the post-1983 government, were rather originally sympathetic to the kind of Islamization, controlled Islamization of Turkish society, especially in the case of the military government, that's the case, and in the case of the ANAP government, they had close ties with the religious brotherhood, so they were rather supportive of its activities. Based on these favorable conditions, the Islamic revival advanced in many fronts. Mandatory religious education was added to public school curricula. The number of preacher schools, preachers employed by the state, and newly built mosques increased considerably in this period. Religious brotherhoods also boosted their activities, setting up Quran courses, reading groups, charity foundations, women's, youth, and mutual support associations, and student dormitories. So now I'd like to talk about the kind of reaction phase. The beginning of a sharp and sustained polarization in Germany between Catholics on the one hand and liberals and Protestant nationalists on the other may be traced to the 1860s. In this period, anti-Catholic discourse became strikingly salient in the German public sphere. Fueled by stories circulated in the liberal press, hundreds of Berlin residents gathered in August 1869 outside of a Dominican chapel and Franciscan orphanage in Moabit, and vandalized the buildings at night while the monks fled for their lives. The Moabiter Klostersturm, as this incident came to be called, was a sign of the spread of anti-Catholicism at the popular level. Only 2 years later, popular anti-Catholic mobilization was followed by a series of official state policies aiming to curtail the power of the Catholic Church. Kulturkampf legislation passed in the course of the following decade and a half banned Jesuits and other religious orders from German territory, severely limited the autonomy of the Catholic Church in its internal affairs, subjected the clergy to a long list of strict requirements and regulations, and led to the arrest of clergymen who did not comply. The story of Turkish state institutions' reaction against political Islam after the elections of 95 is rather familiar. The army forced Welfare to resign from government in July 97, the Constitutional Court dissolved the party in 98, and then its successor Virtue in 2001. But what I want to emphasize is that it was in the late 80s, before the electoral victories of Welfare, that social mobilization and state repression against the religious revival took off in many fronts. Firstly, the headscarf conflict reached a peak in the late 1980s, when two legislative proposals by the Motherland government to resolve the issue were vetoed by President Evren and annulled by the Constitutional Court in November 88 and March 89, respectively. It was also in this period that public prosecutors and judiciary institutions began to pursue a more aggressive policy against religious revivalists. Amnesty International reports document that the number of people prosecuted for their religious activities increased, mostly in state security courts, substantially in the late 1980s. Finally, this period also marked the beginning of extensive organization building by secularists. Between 1987 and 1994, Kemalists established key organizations such as the Association for the Support of Modern Life, Atatürk's Thought Association, and the Association for Modern Education. These associations, in collaboration with state actors, led the mobilization in civil society against the Islamic revival. And finally, the politicization stage. While the dense religious organizational framework had been established in Germany in the course of the Catholic revival, more explicitly political organizations in the Catholic milieu proliferated after 1865 in response to liberals' attacks on Catholicism. Political clubs, peasant leagues, Christian social associations, as well as casinos in southern Germany provided a crucial basis for the formation of the Center Party and then played a central role in its election campaigns. The new Prussian Center Caucus was established in 1870, and the German Center Party, a Catholic party on a national scale, was officially organized the following year. The Center provided the most important institutionalization of political Catholicism in Germany from this point on, and was to have an influential presence in German politics until 1933. While Catholic clergy and population suffered from the Kulturkampf policies, these were largely ineffective and were gradually dropped in the late 1880s. Their political result was rather the strengthening and politicization of Catholic identity and the consolidation of the center as a major political party. Through religious activist mobilization of the Catholic masses in response to attacks on religious authority, institutions, and practices, center increased its vote significantly during the Kulturkampf. In Turkey, the heated conflicts of the late 1980s and early 1990s, especially the headscarf conflict, created unique opportunities for the religious political movement. Building on the popular grievances, intense organizational activity, and widespread mobilization that materialized in the course of these conflicts, Islamic parties achieved significant electoral victories starting in the mid-1990s. Now, this comparative perspective suggests that the kinds of struggles that characterize contemporary Islamic politics in the Middle East are not incommensurable with European and Christian experiences. This insight has important implications for some strands of European public discourse with regard to Turkey's accession, but I want to focus instead on its implications for the social scientific literature. While scholars of religious politics tend to maintain a critical stance towards the essentialism of Huntington, Lewis, or Tibby, most social scientists still emphasize the decisive role of religious doctrine and values in religious politics. This is especially the case in sociology. Rainer Lepsius's theoretical framework centered around the concept of social moral milieu, a very influential paradigm in the European sociology of religion, conceptualizes religious politics as the direct representation of religious communal values in the political sphere. I think there are fundamental problems with this approach. The assumption of clearly defined cultural norms and political values that are shared by the religious community as a whole is overly simplistic. A strong religious identity and the popular propensity to mobilize for religious defense do not mean that what the religious identity stands for is clearly identified, agreed upon, and shared by the members of the religious community. Moreover, the politicization of religion is not simply a translation of already existing religious communal values to the political sphere. Religious politics mediates between religious communal life and the political field and deeply transforms religious identity in the process. Finally, religious political movements develop by taking positions vis-a-vis other groups and responding to their strategies. In other words, religious politics cannot be understood only with reference to itself. It must be comprehended relationally. Political scientists such as Stathis Kalivas, who want to avoid such a reductionism, instead explain the rise of religious parties through the sequence of strategies adopted by political and religious authorities. But their models suffer from a neglect of the central role of religious revivals. What we need, and I sought to offer in this presentation, is an alternative that avoids the pitfalls of reducing religious politics either to the religious communal or to the political alone. While establishing a contingent link between religious institutions and experiences, on the one hand, and political outcomes, on the other, the theory I propose suggests that religious politics does not follow directly from religion-specific doctrines or values. It rises through the interaction of religious activism with established social elites and state power. We should certainly take the religious in religious politics seriously, But the only way to do this is not assuming that political action is determined by deeply divergent worldviews based on differences in religious doctrine, as the Weberian tradition would have it, or by positing, as Sabah Mahmood does, that Muslims and Christians represent fundamentally different, almost incommensurable religious subjectivities. The religiously motivated activist disposition of social actors, oriented towards the renewal of faith, is often the reason why religion matters in politics. Whether these actors belong to a Jesuit convent in late 19th century Prussia or to a Nurcu Brotherhood in contemporary Turkey. Thank you.